versus Deer and Company.
May it please the court, my name is Lynn Lautenberg. I represent the appellants, Rose Ball and William and Shirley Murner, in the appeal of this diversity action from the district, Eastern District of Wisconsin.
Mr. Lautenberg, even before you say a word,
yes.
Let me just ask you something. We all understand that the Wisconsin Appellate Court has now certified this issue to the Wisconsin Supreme Court in the Wenke case, and that signals me that they are no longer certain of the continuing validity of Leverance. Why would we follow Leverance under those circumstances?
I would suggest that the certification by the Court of Appeals, viewed another way, would compel this court not to affirm the district court in this case, because if it is so clear that Landis overruled Leverance so as to justify the district court's order in this case, dismissing my client's claims, then the Court of Appeals would have seen no need to certify that issue to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, but would have instead summarily affirmed the Wenke appeal.
But Mr. Lautenberg, could I just ask a related question? If that was the prudent course in the view of the Wisconsin Appellate Court, why is it not similarly the prudent course for this court to take? This is an issue of Wisconsin law, after all, and we have no authority to make up Wisconsin law one way or the other.
I agree with the court on that point.
So would you support the idea of certifying this issue so the Wisconsin court could consolidate these matters?
This court has two options as I see it. One, to certify the issue to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which it certainly has the sua sponte authority to do. And secondly, to simply defer a decision on this appeal pending the resolution of the Wenke case one way or the other. I would suggest that the certification by this court might add weight mm-hmm. to the certification by the Court of Appeals in Wenke in as it regards the likelihood of the Wisconsin Supreme Court accepting that certification. To date, as the court is no doubt aware, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has not acted on the Wenke certification, probably in large part because the certification occurred toward the end of the Wisconsin Supreme Court's term in June of this year, and the court has only recently resumed its term for this coming year as of September 1st. We had anticipated we might even have had a determination by the Supreme Court on the Wenke certification before oral argument this morning, but that has not occurred.
What is your experience with the Wisconsin courts on certifications from the state appellate courts? Does the Supreme Court usually accept them?
It is very difficult to predict.
Uh-huh.
It is not unusual that the Supreme Court will not accept a certification if it does not believe that there is a legitimate issue of statewide concern to be addressed. It is more often than not accepted. A certification from the Court of Appeals is more often than not accepted by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And for what it's worth, my personal expectation is that the Supreme Court will accept the certification mm-hmm. in Wenke eventually. But I certainly am not in a position to assure this court that that's what's going to happen. My concern, of course, as the court can acknowledge and understand, is that my clients not be deprived of the opportunity to try their case on the merits should Leverance be affirmed one way or the other as the precedential law on the application of Wisconsin's borrowing statute. Should this court affirm Judge Randa's ruling and my clients therefore lose their opportunity to present their claims on the merits, and then the Wenke case be reversed either by the Court of Appeals itself or by the Supreme Court on certification, then we will have exactly the outcome that the Erie Doctrine is intended to guard against. That is, different results for litigants regarding the same substantive issue of law, depending upon whether the case is brought in the federal court or brought in the state court.
Now, that's always a risk in an Erie situation, given the fact that as federal courts, we can't participate in the evolution of state law, whereas a state court is entitled to. Maybe you have to appeal all the way up to the state Supreme Court, but ultimately the state system can do that for you, whereas we have these snapshots in time that we have to deal with as well as we can. Let me just quickly ask you, there's no choice of law issue in this case, because what I've been wondering is, even if the borrowing statute doesn't apply to statutes of repose, such as the Iowa statute, you still need some concept of whether there's a cause of action, and I wondered whether there was any issue left here or preserved as to whether Wisconsin or Iowa law applies to this case.
No choice of law issue was raised on this question, that is, the applicability of the statute of repose to this case, in the district court.
But if the statute of repose terminates the cause of action, then you can see why I'm concerned about it, because that looks kind of substantive, and if Iowa's substantive law is otherwise applying, maybe you don't even need the borrowing statute.
That issue has been briefed in the Wenke case,
And
it was raised as an issue in Wenke. My position on that issue is that the borrowing statute, there is no conflict of laws question. That's why the borrowing statute was enacted, to eliminate the need to do a choice of law analysis every time a timeliness issue is raised when a foreign cause of action is brought in a Wisconsin court.
Okay.
The concern, addressing your first comment, though, Judge Woods, this court should act conservatively with regard to snapshots of Wisconsin law as they exist at the time the decision is presented for the case is presented for decision. And the only authority, precedential authority, under Wisconsin's unique court of appeals system, unitary court of appeals system, which by statute published decisions have statewide presidential effect, the only specific authority on the question at issue was Leverance. And the only way we get to question Leverance is because of the Landis decision, which involved a totally different statute, enacted for a totally different purpose, and a decision which never cited Leverance or the borrowing statute in its context. So I think to avoid the potential adverse consequences that could inure to my clients and others similarly situated, the better course of action for this court and any district court in a diversity action is to rely upon the precedential value of the only decision on that point. And that was Leverance and still is Leverance, because nobody has yet contended that Leverance was overruled impliedly or implicitly or otherwise by Landis. There is a question about what its rationale, the implications its rationale has for the holding in Leverance, but until it's overruled, our Wisconsin Supreme Court has said that it remains binding precedent in the state of Wisconsin, and therefore, under the Erie Doctrine, binding precedent in a diversity action brought in this court. Thank you.
All right, counsel. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to first off address a number of the questions that arose during Attorney Loffenberg's session. One of the initial questions that Judge Wood asked is, would it make sense to certify this case to the Wisconsin Supreme Court? Our position on that is no. And the reason for that is the same reason that I, as counsel for the defendant in Wenke, urged the Supreme Court not to accept the certification from the Court of Appeals. The decision in Landis is so clear, there is no other answer than the one that Judge Randa reached and that two other circuit court judges also reached.
But you know, I don't find Landis quite that clear in that, first of all, it is applying to a different subsection of the statute, and the interpretation in Landis is one that has the effect of saving a claim. It expands remedies, if you will, for Wisconsin residents, the way it's handling these tolling rules, whereas here, of course, it's a door-closing consequence. The Wisconsin Supreme Court might think that's irrelevant, but it might not. It's really up to them, and as we know, whether statutes of limitations and statutes of repose should be treated the same way is something that winds up getting discussed quite a bit today. So, I mean, I can see distinctions that it would not be foolish for the Wisconsin Supreme Court to adopt. They just might not, given Landis.
In effect, as Judge Aranda said, Judge Wood, the only way that the Wisconsin Supreme Court could rule in favor of the Wenkes or decide that Leverance is still good law is to conclude that statute limitations equal statutes of repose for one statute enacted in the very same year as the borrowing statutes.
But courts do that sometimes when the purpose of one part of a statute is different from the purpose of another part. There are only so many words in the English language, and if they're trying to draw a particular distinction, they might treat them differently and remit statutes of repose to ordinary conflicts analysis, whereas statutes of limitations are borrowed. It doesn't seem impossible to me. I mean, I certainly don't think your position is impossible either by any means, but I'm just concerned about an issue that does seem to be uniquely of concern to Wisconsin, why this court should be the one to assume omniscience about what the Wisconsin Supreme Court's going to do.
I kind of need some help from you, because it seemed to me that, that you concede that Leverance was never overruled expressly or impliedly.
That is not true, Your Honor.
Well, your arguments imply otherwise. So, but
that I think would be a strained reading of Deere's position in this case. I would respectfully submit, Your Honor. The point that we made very clear is it was not the district court's obligation to make that determination. That's all that we stated. One cannot read Judge Randall's decision without coming away with the belief that indeed he believed that Leverance no longer was a valid predictor of Wisconsin state law. At no point in Deere's brief did Deere say it wasn't overruled impliedly or otherwise. The only point that we needed to make in terms of explaining Judge Randa's decision was that he was not required to make that determination. Rather, he was required, consistent with Erie, to predict what the Wisconsin Supreme Court would do with this case today.
Forgive me. Statement of the issues. At no, page one, at no point in its decision did the lower court find that Leverance had been overruled impliedly or otherwise.
That's exactly what I just said, Your Honor. Judge Randa didn't have to make that finding. There is no question. And I, as counsel for the defense in Wenke, argued to the Wisconsin Court of Appeals that indeed Wenke was impliedly overruled, or what Landis impliedly overruled Leverance. No questions asked.
It's risky business, and certainly this court is accustomed to dealing with decisions of the U.S. Supreme Court, trying to figure out whether the U.S. Supreme Court would continue to pursue a line of cases that seemed somehow out of date, and they've made it very clear to us that we shouldn't presume to guess too much. You know, if the case hasn't been overruled, we're supposed to follow it and leave it up to them to change it. That's exactly your opponent's argument with respect to Leverance, and why isn't that the more prudent course?
Because in this case, Your Honor, the state of Wisconsin has never disavowed the doctrine of implied overruling. Three courts familiar with the state court system in Wisconsin have uniformly held that Landis rendered Leverance a bad indicator of Wisconsin law, or in fact, it's no longer good state. It's no longer the law of the state. That's what the two district circuit courts held, and that's what we believe that ultimately the appellate courts will determine.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have 2 points to make. The first being, Judge Wood, the statute at issue in Landis was not just another subsection of the statute at issue in Leverance. It was a totally different statute enacted for a different purpose and applied differently in Landis. The second concern that I have is the argument that Deere has made and was accepted by Judge Randa that this court in a diversity action, in light of a Wisconsin Court of Appeals decision, can nevertheless predict or speculate what the Wisconsin Supreme Court might do. The Wisconsin Supreme Court doesn't review every Court of Appeals decision. And unlike the Court of Appeals, intermediate courts of appeal in other states, indeed, unlike the federal system, the Wisconsin Court of Appeals is a unitary court. And the statute says a published decision of that court has statewide precedential effect. And I see my time is nearly up, but the Court of Appeals itself cannot overrule or modify its own decisions once published. Whereas, of course, in this system, other Court of Appeals decisions may be considered of interest and maybe even persuasive in determining what the Supreme Court might do. But in Wisconsin, that is the law until the Supreme Court says otherwise. And under Erie, the court has no option but to follow substantive state law until it is overturned. That's why I didn't certify or request certification to begin with, because I feel so strongly that Leverance was the law, is the law, and will be the law on this issue until the Wisconsin Supreme Court says otherwise. Thank you.
All right, counsel. We will take the case under advisement.